Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And we're going to talk about the power of servant leadership. But I'm going to warn you up front, this is going to be a little bit of a different style. So we're going to want, if you have it, you to pull out your Bible. If not, if you don't have it, we'll be reading this to you.
Yeah, if you're driving, don't open your Bible while you're driving. Not worth it.
Running, don't do that either. Yeah. But we're going to look at John 2, 1 through 11. And the topic is the power of servant leadership. So when we were discussing this, we brainstormed how, and I said, as we look at the story of when Jesus turned water into wine, it was his first miracle. He was definitely serving them, correct? But it's not a very shiny, cool miracle. Like, I mean, I'm sure it was for them because, you know, the wedding and they were running low on wine. But when I think of Jesus's miracles, I don't really go to this one first. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. So, I mean, I jumped straight to, like, I remember a time in seminary when I was hanging out with my buddies and we ran out of wine. Like, I think it was buddies and wives. Sarah was there too. And so we ran out of wine. And so luckily we were close enough to Walgreens. And in St. Louis, you could buy wine at Walgreens. So we walked to Walgreens, bought wine, and came back.
You didn't pray over it to see if Jesus
would
turn it.
No, we didn't. Like, he had given us the money to be able to buy wine. And so, you know, Sarah had a job. So, like, we went and we bought wine and we came back and it was good. But the gift that it gave, it wasn't just the wine, but it was the gift of continuing to be in community, right? Mm. Like, because we had more wine to drink. So, you know, we continued to hang out. Like, and so it was that gift of, it was bigger than the wine, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is the same here. Like, it's bigger than the wine. And I think, like, this is something that I've learned from Jesus. This is one of my favorite miracles because I've learned, like, hospitality from Jesus, because this is very much about hospitality. And I think that's really important.
Wow, now you're making my comments look pretty bad. So yeah, no, I'm teasing. But let's take a look at it. It's John 2, 1 through 11. I'm going to read it from the NIV version. On the third day, a wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And he said, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." Now, I love the fact this is his mom.
Yeah. Hey. And he says, "Woman," right?
Yeah.
Right. I bet you'd slap your son if he called you woman till this day.
I wouldn't be very happy. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And they had to be wondering at this point, like, what? Not with more wine, with water? What? Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now."
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fascinating because it almost seems, and again, this is kind of getting into the unknown mind of God, but it almost seems like Jesus had a plan and an agenda of, like, when he was going to announce his ministry, right? And so, like, by doing this miracle, he's announcing his ministry, right? It says even 11, this was the first sign through which he revealed his glory. And I think biblically, really, God does miracles for two reasons. He does them to reveal his glory, and he does them because God has care and concern for the people around him. But I think, like, this miracle, for the first time, it really told the people around him who he was, right? It validated his claim that, like John the Baptist said, this is the Messiah. John the Baptist has already announced him, but Jesus hasn't used a miracle to announce that he's here yet. And so this miracle really puts him on the map as somebody that he's more than just Joseph now, or Joseph's son from Galilee.
Right.
He's Jesus who now turned water to wine. And this kind of announces him. And it seems like it wasn't his plan to do this yet.
But his mom said, now's the time, right?
Yeah.
So to go back to when you said that, like this announced it, the thought came to me, it also sets the pace for humility that he's going to serve in. He didn't stand up and go, look at me, this is what I'm going to do. It says here that only the servants knew of what happened, those that went and got the jars. So it's also setting the tone for the humility that he's going to serve in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But the reality of it is, I totally agree with the humility, but I don't want to miss the fact that they're going to talk about it, right? If you went to a party and this dude changed water to wine, you're going to talk about it. They know, like, and so there's a sense that you can't keep it quiet. But yeah, Jesus didn't do it. Like, Jesus didn't walk up with the servant, didn't walk up to the bridegroom and say, yeah, that was me. I did that.
Yeah, I did
they
that.
Didn't, like, give a cheers to Jesus at the wedding. Thanks, Jesus, for keeping the party going.
For sure.
Right? Like, and so he did it, yeah, very much humility. He didn't make it about him. He made it about what he was able to do for them. Yeah.
So as we look at servant leadership, what really stands out to you as we look at the wedding and we look at what happened?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me is servant leadership isn't always just giving our time and energy. Sometimes it's giving our agenda. And I think that's what we see Jesus doing here. He gave his agenda, right? I don't know what his plan was for his first miracle, but it sure sounds like this wasn't it, right? If he told his mom straight up, like, my hour's not yet come, like, this wasn't my plan for my first miracle. I had this scripted out, and now, mom, you want me to change it, right? And so the first person he served was his mother.
Right? There's an obedience piece here.
Yeah.
Like, he was obedient to her as her son.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the reality. The first person that he served was her. And so I think, you know, and maybe that's the right way to be, because it shows us that the first people we are supposed to serve is our immediate family.
Yeah, and you've said that a lot. You've really honed in on that, it seems like, over the past few months more than before, of it's your children, it's your spouse. You've got to be good with them and serving them.
Yeah, well, and the Bible actually uses it. Paul talks about it a number of times, like when you're looking for leaders, and a criteria for a leader is how you manage your household. Right. And so managing your household isn't just what you expect from them. But if we're going to manage our household like Jesus managed the people around him, it starts with serving. And so I think, like, if you don't have time to serve your family, then I'm not sure you're fit to serve other people. Now, again, sometimes we'll use this as well, if your kids grew up and they kind of left the faith, then you're unfit. But I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's that you're doing everything today to get that in order, and you're working to fix it and solve it and do the best you can. Like, there is grace and forgiveness if you've raised a family and they haven't followed Jesus, or if you made mistakes in your parenting, there's always a chance to restart.
Or if there's brokenness in your marriage, there's forgiveness and there's healing.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we have to be intentional about serving wherever that is now and whatever that looks like. Like, you know, it's going to look different to serve your adult son than it is to serve him when he was younger.
Right.
And so you have to take that intentionally, right? And for myself too, I have to serve my family first before I serve the ministry that I'm in. And I think we see Jesus doing that really well.
I'm going to deviate. This may not be a great question, so feel free to shift it up if you need to. But can you tell a lot about a leader if home isn't good? Like, does that tell you a lot about a leader, and does it shift how you grow them as a leader? I don't know if that makes sense or not.
I guess there's two parts to that. One is, One is if you don't have the time and energy for home, you probably should pause in leading at church, right? And so, like, I think so much of leadership and servant leadership is where I'm putting time and attention. And so I don't necessarily think that it's not the only judge for your potential as a leader, but it is a way to evaluate, are your priorities in the right place? But on the other hand, like, I think if somebody is leading well at home, then I think they're showing the potential for leadership in the church, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think just because if there's somebody that's leading and they're not doing so well at home, it doesn't mean that they don't have the ability to do better at home. It doesn't mean they're not a bad leader. I think leadership is the people you're leading and how you're leading. And I think when we're struggling in leadership, we want to get help. We want to get support from other people. We want to grow in that area of leadership. But also understand some kids are hard. And some kids, you know.
And some marriages are hard.
And so leadership is always a relationship, right? So it's always based, like, if I'm leading and you're following, it's always somewhat based on both of us. And so my job as a leader isn't to blame them and say, well, they're doing it wrong, that's why I can't lead. But it is to understand that for me, as looking at other leaders, it's always my job to understand that there is a dynamic in relationship, that some of it's out of our control. But as a leader, I always have to be asking the question, how can I do better?
So to get back to this, Jesus had his agenda. He set it aside. He honored and served his mother. And then?
He did what only he could. I think sometimes in leadership we miss this. Like, he was the only one that could turn water to wine, so he did it.
Correct.
What's the only thing you can add to a situation? So, like, I go back even with my family. Like, I'm the only one that can be dad to Caleb, Cor, and Elijah. Like, that's something only I can do. And I think when leadership, especially servant leadership, we ask, what can I only add to this situation, right? And I think sometimes we miss that. Like,
we want to be all things.
Yeah, we want to be all. Yeah, and so I think, like, in leadership, I think I have a very calm personality. Like, I'm outwardly, I'm very steady. Like, I can add that to any situation, right? And I'm not sure everybody has that gift, nor do I want everybody to have that gift. But I can add just a calm steadiness to any situation I'm in. And I think that's something that God has given me. And so I need to add that, right? If God has given you great vision, then how do you add great vision? If God has given you an ability to work hard at things, how do you add that, right? I think that's what Jesus did. He did what only he could do. And I think sometimes we miss that in servant leadership, that it's not just about doing something for somebody else, but it's doing the thing that God has given me to do.
Yeah, I really like that. I was talking with Thomas yesterday, and we were talking about his transition into student ministry. And I said, you're going to be able to give these students a whole different level of understanding, biblical understanding and discipleship, than I was able to. I was able to teach them to love each other well, to serve their church and serve their world well. And it was really interesting because I didn't feel apologetic as I said it. I felt more, and that's okay. That's great. Yeah. Because you're gonna take this generation of students to a whole different level of discipleship. It doesn't mean that I didn't do discipleship or help them to learn discipleship, but not at the level that Thomas is. And to be comfortable and to know I can't be all things to all people. And during that season, that may have been what they needed, but now this is what they need in a whole different way. And that's okay.
Yeah, and I think that's just trusting God that he has you where he wants you for a reason, and you just need to bring yourself. Like, I think servant leadership is not bringing somebody else's version of serving, but bringing who you are to the situation and asking, how can I serve people?
Right, because I think it's going to make it so awkward and uncomfortable if you're constantly trying to be who you're not in a situation.
Yeah.
And if God's given you that gift of leadership, then he's gifted you to be who you are in that moment, in that time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, we always, you know, it's interesting. We say we don't have to be all things to all people, but St. Paul told us to be all things to all people. So, right, like, you know, that's interesting. But I think what he means in that is that you take what you have and you adapt it to the people around you. And that's what I think he means by be all things to all people. That doesn't mean that he means that I need to be Donna Patton to people, but I need to adapt. Serving is not doing what I think somebody needs, but knowing what God leads me to do in their lives. And I think that's, it's kind of this, serving is humbling myself. Mm. It's putting my agenda down in order that I can serve them with God's agenda. But it is taking who I am to that situation.
When, as you look at joining Jesus also, it's not going to look the same. So if I'm in my neighborhood and I'm serving and I'm loving people, I'm going to love my neighbor to my right much different than my neighbor to my left, but it's still going to be in the ways that I'm comfortable-ish and know how to serve. But it may look different as to who I'm serving, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And maybe this one won't make sense, but it popped in my head. Like, our neighborhood usually has a block party, so I smoke the meat for it. I'm on the HOA board, so it's nice that the HOA actually pays for the meat, so that's really nice. But I smoke it, and we save a lot of money like that. But I don't just smoke one type of meat. I smoke multiple types of meat. But I don't, like, make everybody a pasta salad. I don't like pasta salad. I don't do pasta salad, right? I make a few different types of meat, right? And I think, like, that, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a way to kind of,
it does,
that I don't just do, like, well, I like ribs, they should all like ribs and deal with it.
Correct. This is who I am.
I'm gonna serve meat.
At least I'm serving you, so there you go.
But I'm smoking meat, but I'm smoking different types of meat. Like, that's, I think that's the, that I get to bring who I am to people. But if there's things I can do to accommodate them, like, then I'm going to do that a little better. So,
all right. So as we look at servanthood and we look at this, being a servant leader, and we look at this section, you talked about setting our agenda aside. You talked about being who we are. If there's one more lesson you could pull out of here, what would that be? And you're about to see that we don't script this, because I'm just throwing this at you.
Yeah, and there's a pause. I think it's coming back to what I said before, just the value of all Jesus' other miracles, like he heals something or he drives out a demon. But here he serves them.
He just drives out a demon.
Like, but he's doing, like, this major life change thing. But here he's just valuing community. And so I think, like, don't miss this, like, serving for the sake of community. Like, it'd be easy for us to say, well, like, you know, the people that are reading in church or serving communion or pastor preaching is so much more important than, like, you know, the Becky Husky that's doing fellowship. But, like, what she gives to people by fellowship, by valuing community, like, there's noticeably more people in the lobby than there used to be. Like, she's giving the gift of community.
Absolutely.
Right? That's so important. And we sometimes miss that if God has given you the gift of hospitality, open your home up, right? Have people over in your home. Make that a regular practice to invite people into your house, right? Like, I think that's so, so significant, so valuable, so important, that gift of hospitality, right? And I think Jesus embodies that so well with this miracle, and that's a way you can serve people. It feels good to be invited to somebody's house, even if you're an introvert. Like, it feels good. And so if you have that gift, use that gift.
Yeah, I love that, the valuing community. And I think as a leader, we're going to fail. We're going to have times that don't go as well as others. You may have the 100% pure failure, and you may have a, ooh, I didn't do that right, and everything in between. But don't remove yourself from community, because we were made to be in relationship, and we need those desperately. And I like how you said that, like, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. I mean, I need my alone time too. We just don't talk about that as much, but I need alone time, but I need people. I remember during COVID, when they were like, you can't meet at your house. And my home group, my life group, stopped meeting for just like a week or two. And then I was like, no, I can't do that. Yeah. But it was really like, it really pointed out, we have to be in that relationship. Don't isolate. Don't say, I can't do this anymore. Go to the people that are mentoring you and loving you and let them speak that truth into you. Just like your family needs you. You can't isolate yourself from your family because your kid didn't listen to what you said or because you had a hard day. You've got to remain in that relationship, and the people around you need you also, and you need them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a way that we can serve people is by inviting them into our home. Like, the Bible talks so much about showing hospitality to strangers, but I think we miss that in a world that is very me-centric. We say, well, that's my safe space.
My safe space, yeah.
No, I don't know that you can say that. I don't, and even this introvert, extrovert, I think it shouldn't be the defining mark of your life. Well, I'm an introvert and my wife's an introvert, so we don't have people over to our house. Okay, well, where are you fostering community? Where are you giving the gift of community? Because I think we see Jesus do it. He changed water to wine, not because he wanted them to drink more wine, because he didn't want the wedding to end. So yeah. In this culture, like, the weddings would go on. It'd be like a three-day celebration. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, generally, once the wine was over, that was the sign that it was time to move on. Like, your host doesn't have money to serve you anymore, so it's the time to move on. And that's what Mary wants. She wants that community to continue to be together. You know, and I don't know what she knows, what's going on, like, what's behind her desire to not want the wedding to break up, but she doesn't want it to break up. And so she asks Jesus to do this miracle, and he serves them in a way to foster community. So serve in a way that fosters community.
And if it's not having people to your home, because maybe it's just hard to have people to your house, but meet with people.
Yep.
Find a place that's good and just go hang out with your friends and build those relationships. Because
we have space at church. We have a home group life group that meets here at church. Like,
yeah, a few
we
of
have
them.
That. Yeah. And so that's important. That's valuable. Like, do that. Use the church as your extension of your home to meet people.
Mm, I like it. So, setting our agenda aside, be who we are in leadership and value community.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are three great takeaways, and appreciate your taking time to be with us today on Jesus-Centric Leadership, and we look forward to our next episode.